Brilliant novels, groundbreaking nonfiction, evocative poetry, great books, and insightful conversations whenever you want them on the Talk of Iowa Book Club podcast. Pick the books that speak to you or read them all. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's been a year since COVID-19 started spreading in the United States. Vaccines bring hope, but also questions and confusion, and the pain of the pandemic hasn't let up. For so many, it has meant lost loved ones and financial insecurity. For others, it has meant social isolation. For everyone, there continue to be frustrations and disappointments. COVID Recovery Iowa offers free virtual counseling and assistance to all Iowans affected by the pandemic and the August derecho. You can find out more about the resources available at covidrecoveryiowa.org, or you can also call the Warm Line at 1-844-775-9276. Jason Hagland is here. He is Agriculture and Behavioral Health Specialty Coordinator with COVID Recovery Iowa. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And Margie Conrad is also with us, COVID Recovery Iowa Specialty Coordinator for Self-Care. Hello, Margie.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for being here. And Jason, this is such a difficult disaster to respond to. For one thing, it has gone on longer than any disaster any of us living have experienced, or most of us have experienced. And we just can't gather together. What are the frustrations that you've felt in trying to help people?
Well, it's been a challenge like no other. You know, I've done a lot of work for FEMA over the years and the Iowa Behavioral Health Task Force. And, you know, you just can't go stand by the river and talk to folks that are impacted. Everyone's been impacted. So our ability to go out and, you know, personally to feel like we're making a difference has been very different this time around because it's just so difficult to reach people, especially when we're virtual.
Well, and as you mentioned, everybody has been impacted. So does that make it hard for people to ask for help if they think, well, I'm in the same boat as everybody else?
Well, you know, it's hard for a lot of rural Iowans to ask for help in the first place. You know, we think about the culture here in Iowa and our agricultural roots. I'm also a fifth generation Iowa farmer, so I understand more than anyone. There's some pride that sometimes get in the way. And stigma is still very strong in rural Iowa. And so to have an event like this over the duration that we've had really makes it more challenging because this is more of an emotional impact than most of us are built to withstand. And really talking about emotional wellness and our mental health, that's really hard for some people.
After a disaster in the past, a normal kind of disaster, you know, we see the repercussions continue for people. What are you concerned about as this disaster just keeps going?
Well, I hate using the word normal, I have to be honest, but, you know, during a typical disaster, if you will, you know, you get to see the rebuilding, you see physical things, and that's part of the healing process. And we're missing that grief and healing that we really long for right now. And so that's part of the frustration I hear a lot. And part of that fatigue that I hear a lot of people talking about is we're missing parts of the grieving process. And so that sometimes holds us back from moving forward, or sometimes it moves us forward without ever going through some of those processes our brains need to go through so that we can heal long term.
There, Margie, when I introduced you, I mentioned your specialty for self-care. I mean, so many of us are isolated, but we're also taking care of other people, particularly parents, particularly mothers, have been struggling during this pandemic. Tell me about some of your concerns about the need for self-care.
Well, I think self-care is important for all of us, and that's always an ongoing problem of trying to take care of ourselves. We are usually focusing on taking care of somebody else, whether it's our children, our family members, friends that we worry about, different things like that. So right now, what I'm hearing a lot of is that people are really, you know, they're concerned financially. They're concerned about this has gone on so long. And it's like people never have like Jason was saying, we've never been in such a long period without closure coming. Having the injections, the vaccines, has really put a hope in people's heart, but trying to get a hold of it's been really hard. And that will come in time. It's just having patience is something we're running out of. And I think the thing about isolation has really impacted that a lot. And I think with mothers working at home, for them to take care of themselves, to me, they each need to define what that is for them. And it's really hard to sometimes think of, what do I want? What do I need? Sometimes I even have to tell people to write down a list so they can look at, what is it they're missing? What are they wanting? And sometimes just to take some quiet time. For others, it's hard to imagine in isolation, we want quiet time. But sometimes take some time to read a book. Just relax. Just be alone. Watch a TV show. Listen to music, whatever. That's really important. And then I think the other thing I'm hearing from them is their concerns about housing, the jobs, if they had jobs, the fear of daycare. Not all daycares are open yet, and financially, that's a very costly item. So I think that that's really the isolation, financial, and I guess not seeing an end to this. And also really realizing probably it will end up being incorporated into our lives every day in a different way. I don't know how that will turn out. We don't know what the next look at life will be like. Some things will change, and we're gradually changing them now.
So if somebody is struggling financially, or, you know, they're concerned that they're not going to be able to pay their rent, can they get help from COVID Recovery Iowa? Margie?
What we can do is refer them on. We can refer them on to other agencies that work in that area. The other thing we can do is help them pull their thoughts together. A lot of times people are just in a thing called brain fog because of this ongoing thing. And so thinking sometimes and getting things straight is really hard. So getting a chance to talk to somebody to put your thoughts together, that's another thing they can use the line for, is to call and just talk about their feelings, talk about what's going on, and then we can provide some resources. And again, we always try to get people to use their own resources, but sometimes we need each other. And that's what we really have to be working towards, supporting one another in this. Because truly, we all are in this together. It's not just us, it's the world, which is so dynamic, so huge.
You mentioned the vaccines a moment ago. And again, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of hope generated by the vaccines. But the rollout in Iowa has not gone very well. And a lot of people are working hard to try to get access to vaccines, not being able to get access. Yesterday, there was more confusion added because Governor Reynolds said that the Area Agency on Aging would help older Iowans schedule COVID-19 vaccine appointments. And the agency is not doing that. That is not something they can offer. If people don't know how to get vaccines and qualify, is that something COVID Recovery Iowa can help with?
What we can do is send them to the correct place. And I think that's really important, because this, through the group, like they talk about immune within the group, we want to get resources kind of cleared up as to where they need to go. And we hear about a lot of places doing it, and people are getting it, but we're not getting enough vaccines. At this point, they're going to be coming in, but they still have to get them shipped in and all kinds of things. So what I want people to do is, if they can just take a breath and realize it may take a little time. You know, you may hear from your clinic. You may hear from, I mean, the place you have to call is the health department, and they will have it streamlined, although they may run out of vaccines and they'll have to cancel your appointment. Or like we had a really bad storm the day I was supposed to get mine. And so, you know, we don't want people out getting in accidents and stuff. So I think the whole thing is that patience again, which is so hard for us to come by, because we like immediate gratification and we want to get this behind us. And I understand that that's like the ticket to a little bit more freedom, which we want, even though we'll still continue to wear masks and things like that. So I just guess hold on and do reach out to the public health department. Do reach out to 211. And they may be able to help. You can also call our line, and we can help direct you too, as well as talk with you and help you put together what you want to say when you contact them. Sometimes they're so emotional, it's hard to put in words.
There, of course, we had, in addition to the pandemic, we had that derecho strike us in August. And
correct.
I follow along several groups online talking about derecho recovery. And Jason, a lot of people are still struggling because of the derecho. Are you still getting calls from people who need help with that now that we're in this incredible cold snap? We know that many homes were hurt.
Yes, we are. I made a trip over to Cedar Rapids for the holidays. I'm scheduled to go over again. There's still a lot of people who don't have roofs on their houses that still have blue tarps. There's still that ongoing, anxiety and rebuilding happening there. And although that was a type of disaster we're more accustomed to, here in Iowa, the tornadoes, the winds, the flooding, sometimes it takes a long time to rebuild. And so the compounding of the disasters has been a real challenge. And that's really, part of our being there still to support people through their anxiety as they wait for contractors and as they wait for insurance or they find out, not so good news from their insurance company in their personal situation. So kind of those things compounding on top of each other has made it challenging as well. And then our inability to be there, and sit with someone, which is what a lot of our counselors are much more comfortable doing, having to convert to virtual outreach using video, phone, and other mechanisms to support people.
And I can imagine that if you're in a rural area, you're not necessarily on the best Wi-Fi as well. So I'm sure that can be challenging for people. COVID Recovery Iowa has also come up with some fun ways to help people connect. Jason, tell us about, there's about an hour left to get your Valentine's Day request in, but tell us about your Valentine's Day plan.
You can head out and go to our Facebook page and sign up to have a Valentine sent to someone. We've done a lot of really creative stuff to find the need. Over the holidays, we did the virtual Santa Claus where a number of kids and families got to visit Santa Claus by Zoom because you couldn't just go to the mall like you used to visit Santa Claus. So we found all these kind of unique ways around some of these holidays to engage and to connect. And that's really what we're trying to promote is get out there and connect with people you haven't connected with. You can still be social. So there's a silver lining to all of this. We just have to adapt a little bit to find new ways and exciting ways to get connected with others. So social media is a great outlet. And we see people of all ages and all backgrounds joining our social media sites, our groups, and some of the different things that we're doing there. And so this little Valentine postcard project kind of just sprung out of that. There's a need. And so we want to kind of have fun and be adaptable. And that's kind of the exciting thing about this project is we want to kind of lead and teach people we can still be connected. A lot of us are isolated, a lot of folks and, the elderly and in these nursing homes are really isolated right now, but we can still reach out and connect to folks. We even taught some kids how to write postcards, right? Because there's lots of other ways to communicate. And so it's just really exciting for people to rediscover things and to learn how we can still stay connected.
Can you tell me a little bit about some of the groups that have been created through COVID Recovery Iowa, the groups that people are engaging with each other through?
Sure. There's some traditional groups where you can actually go to a Zoom room and talk to folks, around different specialty categories. We also have, fun stuff like you can post pictures of your pet, and so that's been a very somehow that ends up in my Facebook feed every morning. So I see all these different dogs and cats, which is great. I throw my golden doodle on every now and then. And so it's really there's something out there for everyone. I think we have 20 or 30 groups last time I checked. And so some of it's, support groups for individuals in recovery from substance use. Who want to reconnect with a new group to survivors of domestic violence, to just folks who just want to connect with other people, their age group, just to find some new social outlets.
Well, and it feels like right at the beginning of the pandemic, we were all excited about these new ways to connect. Margie, I think some of us are a little tired of Zoom happy hours and some of those early ideas.
Right.
But do you have some advice for people if they are feeling lonely or if they have others in their lives who are?
Well, I think to think back and if somebody say somebody's name crosses your mind that day, it never hurts to try to call them and see how they are. Just do a check-in. And I think also making sure that, I think Facebook is another good way with pictures of grandchildren and family members. And there aren't that many activities going on with families, but they still have their small family gatherings. And to be able to share that, I know some people, like you're talking about, don't like Zoom, but for now, it's the best way we can reach people and or on the telephone. I think the telephone, thank goodness we have the telephone. I'm really grateful. And for people to gather simply in their families and make sure they're talking to each other. I find around my house we just get very quiet. We don't say much to each other. And that's because my son's in and out, and I'm here, and I'm in and out. And so we touch base as we can, but it's important to keep talking to people for yourself and your health.
All right. And I've heard that a lot of people are talking more to themselves as well, which apparently can be
They're thinking
healthy.
Out loud.
Right. So
they are thinking out loud. And I think that's where I'm saying sometimes, nothing's wrong with that. It's okay to talk to yourself. I mean, you just want to be careful where you do it. But I think that, I think that we all get thinking out loud. We're not so much in that social atmosphere where we're thinking of the things that we're doing. We're getting pretty comfortable with being alone. And so what I've started doing is putting my makeup every morning on. It just feels like a structure. And I feel better. In my own mind, I think I look better, and it helps my day.
Yeah,
it's a good way for me to start.
You know,
getting dressed, doing things like that.
Right.
And so, if music does it, I think that's a great healer for me. It's also one that makes me want to groove a little bit. And I think, I watch very little of the news, but I try to catch up with it so I feel like I know what's going on. But it is very wearing, just the sound of it. And so, we'll have some time here now that we'll be having to listen to that. And I think we want to listen to it because we care about our country. But don't overdose on it. Be sure that you, do things that are more entertaining. A lot of people are picking up hobbies. I started doing jewelry. People are coloring books. People are writing more letters to each other. And getting a letter is really like a unique thing in this day and age.
Yeah, and it can certainly bring a smile to your face.
Yeah, and the cubigrams, as you talked about, they have to be in today. And so how you do that is you have to have the addresses of the people you want to send it to, and then just simply go to COVID Recovery Iowa Facebook, and you can sign up for that. And there is a process. There's 6 different Valentine things to say about it, different choices. So you can pick the one you want on the card, and then just a salutation at the end and your name.
All right. Well,
and they'll mail them out. They're handwritten. So.
Margie, thank you so much for being here today. Margie Conrad, COVID Recovery Iowa Specialty Coordinator for Self-Care. Jason Hagland, Agriculture and Behavioral Health Specialty Coordinator with COVID Recovery Iowa. You can go to their website, covidrecoveryiowa.org, or you can call the warm line at 1-844-775-9276. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.
The way Iowans consume news has changed a lot since the coronavirus pandemic hit in 2020. But people here still need to know what's going on in the state every day. What are leaders saying?
The virus isn't going away until we have a vaccine.
How are medical professionals reacting, and how is it affecting hospital staff and schools?
Those weekends where you are on the phone and sending emails and, dealing with people with a very emotional issue has been really hard.
I'm Clay Masters. In 2021, Iowa Public Radio is starting a podcast called Here First. It's a quick daily show for your work week that catches you up on state news as you begin your day. Get analysis from IPR's team of reporters.
Most of the improvement in the unemployment picture comes from more than 90,000 Iowans no longer looking for work.
Find out when high-profile politicians are in the state.
Back at the state fair!
Learn about what's going on in state government and discover Iowans you might not hear about otherwise.
This is the first time I've spoken with a woman without documents who's also unafraid of sharing her story on the radio.
Subscribe to Iowa Public Radio's Here First wherever you get your podcasts.